Parshat Shmot, Sefer Shmot, begin Ve'ela Shmot. These are the names of the children. Habayim Mitzrayim, we're coming to Egypt with Yaakov. Each man in his household came, and we list them. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Binyamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And all the persons who emerged from Yaakov's loins were 70 souls, and Yosef was in Egypt. And the one question, or really two questions, that I like to ask is, the question of Masil's Pavavim notes, is Pasuk HaPoteach Ve'ela Shmot B'nei Yisrael, L'chora Ein Lo Shaychud HaMashmot Miyuchad L'Sipur HaGalut V'HaGaula. This is the story of Galus, of exile, of Geula, of redemption. This is like, you know, L'Havdil, the topic sentence. This is the opening sentence. This has nothing to do with Galus, with the exile, and has nothing to do with the Geula, with the redemption. And therefore, what is its place here? Why is it here? And indeed, we know that this group of psukim is really repeating that which is found in Parshat Vayigash. We already know the list of the tribes that came down. We have a detailed list. As Ramban knows, Ki ketuv yotzeh limnot inyan hagalut meigri detan lemitzrayim, ki az galu berosh golim, ulefichach yachzor tchilat hainyan. This is like the pasuk that links the pasuk that they went down in Parshat Vayigash to speak about the beginning of the galus, and this is the pasuk that is mechubar, that connects, that links the previous parsha, the previous sefer, and this sefer. B'chozol zecha mikrasne lechbi achotamol sefer kulo v'ashmo nukra sefer shmot halo b'dorim begav. We know that names are a mahut. Names are the essence. Why is it that we're beginning the Sefer, which is known as the Sefer of Geula, the Sefer of Redemption, with the names of the tribes? And indeed, the names of the tribes represent them coming down into exile, which is Geulus, which is exile itself. And the entire Sefer is called the Book of Names, Eilu Shemot. A name is the essence. Breishi is the beginning. It's the beginning of the creation, the beginning of the Avos. But Midbar, they're in the Midbar. Tvarim is the words most from it. What is Shmot? Why is this the name of the Sefer? And the Sils Pavavim points out, that helps us explain where Chazal say that one of the reasons why Klai Yisrael were saved was Shaloshinu et Shmam. They didn't change their name. That obviously there must be something about the names that is of significance. As Ramuk points out, this title draws our attention to the importance of maintaining Hebrew names, especially when living in the midst of foreign people. We are told that our ancestors did not change their names in favor of Egyptian names, and that this loyalty helped them to maintain their Jewish identity. So that answers a little bit of the question of why is the whole Sefer called Ve'ela Shmot, because this was a schus, the merit that they had, that they never changed their names. But still, we need to understand what is the significance of the Sefer being called Ve'ela Shmot. Our secondary question is, indeed, if we list the names of those coming down, and we're saying that this links the Gullus and the exile, that they came down and now we're beginning the exile of the hardship of slavery, etc., in our parsha. So why do we need to know the Yosef Hayab Mitzrayim? And Joseph was in Egypt. He wasn't one of those coming down. Okay, so Yosef is included in the 70 souls. That's again an answer. But the question still begs itself, and Yosef was in Egypt. What is the significance of knowing that Yosef was in Egypt? What do we learn from this? I'd like to try to look at these questions on two levels. On level number one, to explain that these names are coming from the position of Golos, of exile. And then the second level, to look at these names as a harbinger of Geula, of redemption, and really see how the two levels complement each other. Let's start off, be able really to explain on both levels, we need to explain what a name is all about. As Marosh Turim, Rav Reis points out in Source 6, Shashem Moreh al Kol HaMahut, a name reflects the entire essence, the Chol Inyano Shel Adam, and the whole essence of who, the whole aspect of who a person is, V'atach L'Tshivah L'Olam Mishvilo, and the reason why a person came into this world. Indeed, as Rav Gedalia Shor points out in the Or Gedaliahu in Source 7, he has a number of pages, a very long essay on this exact topic in the beginning of Sefer Shmot. He says, Adam HaRishon Amad El Sokol Nivra V'Nifra. When Adam HaRishon was naming the animals, it wasn't Stam, okay, this animal is going to be called a peel, an elephant, or this one an Aryeh, a lion. By calling them this name, they're... He was tapping into the essence of what each and every animal was about. And that's the beauty of the Hebrew language, that the names themselves and the letters that make up a name are so significant. Ki kol shem merel mahut, every name reflects the essence, v'hakoach, and the latent potential, shel hanivra, of that which is created. And hence you see, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and he says, Vayikra Elokim La'or Yom, and he called the light day, what he's doing is calling the name of the light what its function is. Its function is to give daylight, to give light to the people. The name is not just a name that I recognize this person vis-a-vis that person. It's a distinguishing mark. That's very, very superficial view of a name and really empty. A name reflects what the whole notion of who a person is. And that's why we know, Ki kol davar ba'olam nivra l'tachlit she'etzem imenu, Kvod Shamayim. Every creation was created for one purpose only, and that is to bring Kvod Shamayim, the glory of Kadosh Baruch Hu, in this world. U'mikol nivra v'nivra, yesh ha'kavod Shamayim asher tzarech l'tzem imenu. And every person has the Kvod Shamayim, the glory of heaven that has to come from them. V'ashem shakol nivra hu kefi ha'kavod Shamayim she'tzarech l'tzem imenu. And the name gives us an inkling, it gives us the focus of what this person's koach is supposed to be about. And that helps us explain the Gemara in Brachos that says, where do we see that Shema Gorim, that a name is so important? It speaks about the Pasuk, Ki Sham Shamot Ba'aretz, that Hashem placed destruction in this world. Chazu Mifalos Hashem, Asher Sam Shamot Ba'aretz. See the wonders of Hashem, they put destruction in the world. Don't read it as Shamot, destruction, read it as Shemot, names. What's going on here? So really, he says, it's Hainuach. If you don't live up to your name, then you've created destruction. This is your choice. Your choice is to be the name that you inherently have. And indeed, the Sfarim say that certain names give you already a certain disposition and tendency. A person's name is Yosef, or Avraham will be people who have the tendency toward chesed, toward kindness, toward giving to others. Person with the name of Dina or Dan will have the tendency to be more strict in their approach to life. The name, the meaning of the name, is very, very significant. And that is why every person has this challenge in their life. They can be able to take themselves and live up to their name, or they can destroy that very name. This is the idea where you have by Avram Avinu, Vitsamta, who says in the morning davening, Vitsamta at Shmo Avraham, you placed his name as Avraham, Umatsata Levavo Neman Lefanecha, and you found his heart to be faithful. Hainu Sha'Avram Avinu Lavashalom Nunshacha Char Shmo, he followed his name, Av Amon Goyim, the father of the multiples of nation, and therefore he was loyal, he was Neman to the Kochos, to the attributes that were given to him. And indeed, the Yahu notes in the footnote, when we give a name and a prismila to a boy, all of the child's inherent talents are found. Not only talents, his kochos, his latent potential is found, is revealed at the moment that he's born. And this is the bracha we give him, that just like you came into the bris with all of your kochos and nefesh, you found here today is like, you know, the light of your tremendous potential. You should enter into your learning Torah, into your marriage, into building your family, into your maisim tovim, with being able to take out all of these kochos and nefesh and live up to your name. If we understand that the name is the essence of a person, and that's why I will just add parenthetically that it's brought down that a person, if they have two names, should at least be called once a day with both names, because that's who the person is. When you call a person a name, you're drawing down the kochos, the power inherent in that name. And that's why some people are very against nicknames, because you are curtailing that power. A Yossi is not a Yosef, and a Ruchi is not a Rachel. You're taking away the letters of their name, which are so significant, perhaps touch on at the end. And, you know, I see this. I mean, people do it. We all do it. I see this with wedding invitations, you know. Rivki is marrying an Avi. It's Rivka who's marrying an Avraham. It's not a Rivki and an Avi. I understand that's how they're called, but understand that there's something about this that is missing in selling short the kach of this couple. With this in mind, my friends, we can appreciate in source number 11 what Rav Shmuel Brazil speaks about in the Shvili Nivra Olam, where he says, when Paro, in the beginning of this week's parasha, speaks to the Mialdos, to the midwives, and he tells them, you know, I want you to, if it's a boy, I want you to kill all the boys, keep the girls alive. So he teaches the pasuk as the following. Gam Paro hivin shetchila nefilos am Yisrael, mishtaleshe memashem et badli mehem emay lashem. Paro also understood, Eilish Shmos, the name is the essence. So what did Paro do? He said, first and foremost, let me change the names of these women. Instead of being Yocheved and Miriam, or Yocheved and Elisheva, that's however, which opinion you go by in the Gemara and Sota, let me call them Shifra and Pua. By changing their names, and that is the first decree he had, Vayomer, Melch, Mitzrayim, Liyaldos, Avriyos, Asher Shemachat, Shifra, Vashem, Asheni, Pua. First and foremost, he said, the decree is your name are being changed. Second of all, you should kill the children. So the Piresha Igra Dekala, that these two have an effect one on another. How so? That what Paro wanted to happen was that if these women's names are not their Jewish names, so then they won't give too much credence to a name. And therefore, when they look at the child, they won't look at them as a potential name, as a potential person, but they'll look at them as just a number. So you have one less or one more. What difference does it make? When you look at it as potential numbers and not as essence of who they are, so then these Egyptian women won't care so much to kill these children. Again, Paro understood, but we need to understand the power of the name. First and foremost, Paro changes their name. Because once your name is changed, you've lost your mahut, you've lost your essence. And what he was really trying to do was downplay the power of names. Ve'ela Shmot, the name of the parsha, the name of the sefer is names. Because names represent the mahus, the essence of what a person is about. Now it's very interesting, before we walk into these two aspects of Gullus and Geula, respectively, when we talk about a person's name, so there are really two aspects that almost embed into the person the kochos hanefesh. One is the meaning of the name itself, right? So certain names, most names, have different meanings to it, and the name itself is going to give you that koach, what the name itself means. Like, you know, Shoshana would be a relationship, you know, between Klal Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu, all Shir Shirim, a name of love, a name of connection. That's one aspect of the name. Then there's another aspect of the name, which is less well known, but parents should keep this in mind, and in today's day and age, video it, and the old day and age, write it down, and give it to their children at their bar and bat mitzvah, and then later at their wedding, in Source 12, or later in life. V'nira b'tama davar. Just like a child gets the physical features and character traits from the parent, kach mekabel hu mehem, continues the Rosh David, Rav David Hofstadter in Source 12, and haregesh vekavanat halev, he also gets from them the mindset, the feeling, what they were thinking, shayu menarcho kam bekriyat shmo, when they call the child this name. Umachshavatam v'kavanatam notnim et ha'tochen l'shem shebo nikra nimsa. Shinaguto shel adam hushpat mishmo. A person is influenced by the meaning of their name. Umachshavat ha'lev shenolvatal l'tinas ha'shem. And the mindset the parents had when they gave the name. So many people, let's say, are named Shoshana or Rachel or Avram or Yosef. But when the parents gave them this name and they chose this name, they had in mind a grandparent. They had in mind a Rebbe. They had in mind whoever it was that they had in mind. And they say at the bris, at the kiddush or whatever for the girl, they say that this child should emulate the characteristics of great-grandma Rachel. And she had the following A, B, and C character traits, and that's the character traits that we hope that our little Rachela, or Rachel without the nickname, that our Rachel should also have, that our, you know, Shimon should also have. And in that way, what they are doing is giving the child two gifts. One, the gift of the name, and two, their mindset, why they chose this name, who the person was named after, why they thought this name was a beautiful name, what drew them to this name. So that also, those reasons, that mindset, that whole mahalach impacts on the child as well. And, you know, after many years, parents say, oh, I named you that name, Jack. I forgot what was in my mind. That why, particularly if you have 10, 12 kids, you know, sometimes you may forget. That's why it's important to write down and give this as mamash a gift to each one of your children. And that's why you see by the Imahos HaKadoshos, when they name their children, the reason for the names are found in the Chumash. So in 14, for example, when she named the child Reuven, Ki ra'a Hashem ba'oni, Hashem saw my affliction. What was she giving over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? This is a rega shel shevach hodayah to Hashem. This is thankfulness to Hashem. She's telling in Shimon that you have to always see the goodness of Hashem, that Hashem looks for us, and He sees our pain, and He responds to us. And the ability to see goodness is Reuven's character. Shimon, as we spoke about at length last week, the ability to hear, the ability to be sensitive to the evil in this world, be able to respond. Levi, a point of connection. Yehuda, gratitude. And this is the, these were part of the mindset that each of these children have. So although their names, as the Medrash will see, will touch on a little bit, gives each one of these names meaning in Mitzrayim, it doesn't contradict the fact that what the Imahos had in mind. Because names are understood on many multiple levels. There's the level of what the women were feeling, the parents are feeling, there's the level of what the name itself means, there's the level of understanding the nuances of the name, and all of this come together in naming a child. As Rav Gifter points out in Source 16, although the Torah and Breishi previously named all those who descended to Egypt, it names them now again. Chazal explained that the Torah is praising those who descended to Egypt. This requires understanding, for how is the Torah praising the tribal ancestors kneeling by naming them? The Torah considers a name far more than just a means of address. A name represents its bearers, its very essence, character, and abilities. Not everyone is worthy to have his name symbolic of his very being recorded in the Torah. By naming those who descended to Egypt, the Torah conveys to us a message that these were people worthy to be written in the Torah, which is truly a great praise. Our question may be also resolved from another angle. Chazal teach that the names of the tribe allude to the redemption, because the tribes were named long before the redemption. As explained, the name indicates the character of its bearer. Apart from the superficial qualities, the name possessed many hidden abilities, which surfaced under the necessary circumstances. When the Torah, Breishit, names the tribes, they were free, living in the vicinity of Yaakov, an atmosphere of total kedusha. Their lives were accordingly structured. Egypt, however, was a corrupt and immoral society, and the tribes lacked Yaakov to shield them. They needed new strength and qualities. By naming Yaakov's children in this new environment, the Torah is praising their ability to adapt and to deal with every situation. And that, my friends, is the beauty of repeating the names here. And that's why the Sefer is called Ve'el Shmot. These are the names. Because these are the names of Yaakov's children who are able to withstand the trials of Golos. The names in Israel, it's no kunst that they're able to hold by their names and live up to their name. The Ve'el Shmot, these are the ones, Habayim Yitzrayim, who are coming down to Egypt, constantly, Hover, that they never lost this ability to bring with them the Eretz Yisrael down into Egypt. And even in Golos, even in exile, the Eilat Shvelt, these are their names. And that explains the Shemin HaTovah of Weinberger, why we have the Yosef Hayab in Mitzrayim. Just as Yosef, who was in Egypt and who had all of these trials and tribulation, was, as Chazal tells us and Rashi brings down, Omei Bitsipko, was able to stand and hold on to his righteousness. Likewise, the Shvatim also were able to stand up and maintain their righteousness. And that's a deeper understanding. Shalom Shinu et Shmam. They didn't change their name, which means they didn't change their essence. They didn't change who they were. Even in Golos, they were able to maintain their identity. They were able to work on developing themselves. They were able to be the best Reuven, the best Shimon that they could possibly be. That's the great praise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving the Shvatim and the name of the Sefer, the Eilat Shvot, to be able to maintain your identity, even in difficult situations. That's the greatest praise possible. Let's try to understand this idea, my friends, from a little bit of a deeper perspective that I think is very, very fascinating, and I think will shed a tremendous amount of light on this parsha and our lives specifically. Rav Eisenberger in Mesillas Bavava quotes a fascinating piece from Rabbi Yerucham Levovitz in Das Torah, and he says, Ki yisod l'dvarav et eitim kovei hanacha, he gives us an axiom, Shem Hu inyan shel kiyum. A name is something that has permanence. And that's why we say, we just said in Chanukah, Ulecha asita shem gadol v'kadosh b'olamecha. A shem la'olam. It means it's going to be forever. It has its surah forever. And that's why when Yaakov Avinu in 19, when he's fighting the Malach, and he asked him, the angel, what is your name? And the Malach says, Lama zet yishal ishmi, why are you asking my name? I can't give you a name, because my name changes based on what my tafkin is, what my mission is. Because a name is something of permanence, and my tafkin, my job changes all the time, therefore I don't have a name, because I can't have a name. And hence, we can appreciate when Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael, this week's parasha, by the snap, by the burning bush, are going to ask me, what is your name? What should I tell them? What he's really asking is, are you going to deal with them in a kavios, in a permanent type of way? Are you going to be with them constantly? And that's why when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's answered, Eka, Asher Eka, I will be with them in this sorrow, and I'll be with them in future sorrow. So you look at this Rashi and you say, my gosh, it's not enough, I have troubles now, and God's telling me I'm going to have troubles in the future. That's not what it's about. What Hashem is saying is, I'm going to be with you. And I'm giving you a name, because a name means something that's permanent. Just like I am with you in this type of golos, in this type of challenge, I am going to be with you in all future challenges as well. Imo Anochi Batsara, by Hashem giving Moshe Rabbeinu the name, and the name is like a theme that runs throughout our parsha, right? By giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving a name to Moshe Rabbeinu, what he's doing is saying that my relationship to Klal Yisrael is going to be manifested and apparent forever. With this understood, that a name is about something that's a davar shel kayama, is something that is permanent, is something that is found, we can appreciate a very interesting pasuk in Kohelet 7:1, Zion Aleph. Pasuk says, Tov Shem Mishemen Tov. Good is the name, better than good oil. V'yom hamavet miyom hivalto. And the day of death is better than the day you were born. So, Nosef Eisenberger, if you're going to compare two things, they have to be similar. So if I'm going to be comparing a good name with good oil, there has to be some similarity. Like, I can compare, you know, chopped meat to chicken, because they're both, you know, meat. But I can't compare chopped meat to linen. I mean, like, what does one have to do with the other? What does a name have to do with shemen, with oil? So he says that we know that shemen throughout is romeis lechochma. Shemen is hinting at wisdom. We know the Chateau Yit was from Tekoa. It was a place known for its oil. That's why she was Isha Chachama, a wise woman. Right? If you want to be wise, you go in the direction of the menorah. The menorah was a symbol of Chachma, of wisdom. Chachma, good oil. Oil is reflection of Chachma. What is the status of Chachma? It's something that is not changeable. When you look at wisdom vis-a-vis emotions, the emotions fluctuate. Today I'm in a good mood. Tomorrow I don't know what mood I'm going to be in. And the next day, who knows what that's going to bring. But wisdom is something that I'm able to be level-headed and I'm able to think clearly and I'm able to have more of control while emotions are so volatile. We're very, very influenced, and our soul and our hearts fluctuate. But if you're able to take your head over your heart, you're able to have some control. So he says, just like we have Chochma, wisdom, which is a Dover Shokayama, is something that is constant, it's something that can be controlled. Likewise, we have the idea of a person's name is also something that is constant, something that is found. Tov, Shem, Mishem, and Tov, what's the connection between a name and oil? Both have as their common denominator the ability of constancy and the ability of continuation. And that is why when we speak about Ve'ela Shmot in 24, Zot Amerche Misharu Kvuim Bashem, Shu'inyan Shokium, Achuzim Biraza de Chochmata, V'loishtanu B'ma'uma in the asterisks in 24. And now we can bring it together. What allowed Klal Yisrael to be able to maintain their names? What allowed Klal Yisrael to live in Golos and not be influenced by all the surrounding culture is because they were able to have the Chochma, the wisdom, the Seichel, the mind, control their heart, and they weren't, you know, influenced to follow the latest fashion and the latest this and the latest that. When you're able to have your seichel, your mindset, to be the stronger part, that is what is going to enable you to keep your name, to keep your essence, to create kvius in your life. And then you have the end of the pasuk, v'yom hamavet v'yom hivado. Then you have a connection between the day you're born to the day you die. It's one long life, because it's a life that you have. We're going to use the word, we'll talk about this more, Mir Tashem, next week, is a life of focus, a life of understanding where I'm at, b'li hasek, without any interruption, v'ishtanu, without changing. Who has a good name? One who's able to live from death to life, from life to death, the entirety of one's life, knowing why you're here, knowing your focus in life and being able to live with that focus with such clarity. We just lost this week a Gadol B'Yisrael in Musar Machsheva Ramosha Shapira. And this was his calling, his quality trait. If you had any relationship with him, or those who did, you would see that one of his outstanding qualities is his incredible ability to focus. He knew where he was, what Gadol B'Yisrael is this way, what he was supposed to accomplish in the most unevenous way, in the most humble of ways, but never losing the focus in life. And now we can appreciate in 25 when we give a name, just Chassid Hashem, I said, Bruce this morning said, Vayikra Shmo Yisrael, so and so, and so and so, Yismach Ha'av, V'yosei Chalatzav, let the father be rejoiced in his child, V'tagelimo, V'primitna, as the mother as well. It's not only the parents, the physical parents, but rather it should be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the soul of Odos Abba V'ima Eloi, the higher level parents, which we know is the Bechina of Chochma and Bina. The father represents Chochma, wisdom, and the mother represents Bina, understanding. They should rejoice in the child, because we pray that this child will go through life being able to have Yismach Ha'av, Tegel Ha'em, Tegel Imo, that the wisdom and the Bina, the understanding, will always rejoice in this child. Because this child will always have the focus in life on what they're supposed to accomplish in this world and not getting lost from this focus. And this is our goal. This is our bracha to a child, that he should always be able to hold on to that name and the meaning of the name, that in all situations in life, not lose that equanimity and be able to understand, this is who I am, this is what I need to accomplish, and whatever's going on around me, I have my mission, I have what to accomplish, and I'm able to do that. And with this, we can explain what we touched on last week, that right before the end of the kvura, the end of a burial, the Chevra Kadisha mentions the person's name. What's the idea of this? Doesn't a person remember their name? We get up to Shemaim, so we spoke about, last week we spoke about that a name is the essence, and you're asked, what is your essence? Tonight, a little bit different. Where the question that is being asked is, did you live up to your name? Were you a person who was able to hold on to your life with that which we spoke about, that midos, with the goals of what you were to accomplish in life? Because everything is about being able to be connected to that essence. And this is why the Shulchan Kodesh brings down that there is a minhag Yisrael to say, right before you lurotom, before taking 3 steps back in Shemoneh Esrei, a pasuk that begins with the first letter of your name and ends with the last letter of your name. And the different minhagim, whether if you have 2 names, you say 2 psukim, or you say 1 pasuk that will begin with the first letter of your first name, and then the second letter would be of the last letter of your middle name. So, for example, I have 2 names, Shira Aviva, so it would be a pasuk beginning with a shin and ending with a hay. So the pasuk I use for Shira, and I happen to pick a second one for Aviva, though I wouldn't have to, I'd really be Yotze with 1, is Shira Shira Mashir L'Shlomo, which has the name Shir in it, as well as the shin and the hay, which would be cover both of a Shira as well as Aviva, both end with the hay. And I tell my students, don't only choose a pasuk that Rabbi Arskor brings down, if there are no other options, and that's what you have to choose. Choose a pasuk that you feel connected to. Choose a pasuk that will be your, like, anchor. And that's what he says here, like, a person's going to forget their name, like, they hear their name all day. It's not about that. It's connecting your name to a pasuk. A pasuk represents Torah. Torah represents Chochmah. Chochmah represents stability. A name is about being able to live a life of stability. When one chooses a name to say as your pasuk, you should use it as like your mantra, like your focus. So this is my focus in life, right? In my case, to be a shira shirim, to be a ability to sing praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through shira is limud Torah, through teaching of the Torah. And the second pasuk I chose, which is really not relevant for tonight, but it also reflects this idea of one's avodas Hashem. It gives you every day that reminder that you have a mission to do here, and you have to do it. And this is the Yosef Hayabim tribe. This is the idea of what Yosef was about, who never changed, who was able to keep this steadiness, this position. Rav Eisenberger takes this one step further, and he says, and it's gewaldic, he said, if we understand what we're talking about here, that a name is the essence, and one of the ways to keep our essence is to be able to keep focus in life, and that is by using the moach, making sure that your head is not, you know, your heart isn't overtaking your head, and every day you're doing whatever, which, what, but you have focus in life. He says, part of being able to help you have this chokhmah, this rosh over the lave, the head over the heart, to be able to maintain this stability and to affect your name as well, in 29, is we know that there's a klal gadol b'torah chokhmah sanefesh. There's a major principle. This is brought down in Sefer Chinuch, very famous, ki adam nifal lufi puloso. A person is influenced by his actions. V'acharei machshavotav kavanatav, and our mindset is very much focused on what we've done. B'shvil liyot kavua b'rucho b'nafsho, sarich shiyeh gam ish kavua b'po b'vakom b'sman. If you want to live a life of stability, a life of focus. So your life has to reflect that. And he says, Lidnaheg up, he said there, Yom Aruchu Mesutar. And to do that, you need to have Seder in life. Like go to sleep at the same time, wake up at the same time. Now, obviously, right? Not everyone at every different stages of life when you're nursing a baby. Obviously, we're not talking about that. But we're talking about in a world where you don't have variables that are constantly changing, and those days do happen, my friends, as much as you can to have stability in this world. And we know kids thrive on stability. There's a bedtime, and there's a bedtime routine, and there's a this routine and that routine. When you live a life of routine, and that, again, doesn't mean you can't break out of routine, but it means that I have a Seder. This whole idea of being kovim makom, that you have a kvius makom to daven. I have a place, I have a shul to daven. I have a Seder in life. It's not like every day I wake up, gee, what am I going to do today? When you have this routine in life, it creates that ability to have your structure, to have your focus, and that impacts on who you are as a person. He says it's very similar. It's a very interesting analogy he gives. It's very similar, he says, in 30 to orthodontics, to braces. Right? If you want to straighten the teeth are really, the teeth have to be straightened, but sharashim, in the roots. The braces are not on the roots, they're on the teeth. But if you affect the teeth and you straighten them, that's going to affect the roots as well. If we live a life of being straightened, if we live a life of direction, of being able to move in certain ways, that's going to impact ourselves in who we are. And that's going to be able to make an impression that, you know, life is about having a focus, having a routine, having a Seder, and I accomplish what I need to accomplish in this world. He says, it's very interesting, in Source 31, he says, Lumadze, yesh ka'elu shei bechazkat mishtanim. He said, there are some people who can't sit still for a second. Halal kol simim koma mechol davar katan. They jump from their place with every small thing. You know, they hear a drunk person outside, they have to go to the window to see what's going on. They, you know, hear somebody talking about something. Oh, I got to hear what's going on here. They can't sit still. And he says, we're not talking about ADD people here. We're talking about people have to realize that if I'm going to be listening to everything that goes on around me and I can't sit and focus on where I'm at, is it any wonder that my whole life seems to be like nishtay and nishtay here, and I look around and I say, what am I accomplishing in my life? And that, my friend, is, you know, in our day and age of technology, where one thing changes after another thing, and, you know, you have these instant chats, whatever they call them, I don't even know these fancy names, where, you know, you send somebody something, and then 5 seconds later it disappears. We live in a life of coming and going and movement. And is it any wonder when you live a life with this technology, that everything comes and goes, and Instagram, and instant this, and instant that, that we lack the depth that we need in order to be able to really have the focus that we need. And when and this is, we know, the challenges of technological age. If anyone's ever read the book, it's a secular book called The Shallows. He speaks about very beautifully how our brains are being rewired because a person can no longer sit and read a whole page of information. In today's day and age, you look at a screen and then you have different things popping up at all different parts of the screen. You can't focus on any one thing because you want to click on this and click on that. And how many times do we have multiple screens right in front of us? And we're doing a zillion things while we're on the screens. We're texting, we're on the phone, we're multitasking in so many different ways. Is it any wonder that in a world like that, it's difficult to focus? Is it any wonder in a world like that, it's difficult to live up to our expectation of our name? And that is why the challenge is even greater in our generation, in our day and age, where we are surrounded by this aspect to be able to keep our names. And this is the inspiration of the Eilish Shmo in Golos, in Mitzrayim, in the Tumah. The Eilish Shmos B'nai Yisrael B'nai Mitzrayim, they're coming today down to Egypt, present tense. They never lost that focus. They were able to maintain the standards that they had in Eretz Yisrael and Golos as well. They're able to take that focus that they have when they're sitting in the Beis Medrash out into the working world. And that is the mindset that we need to take with us. That's the bracha we give to a child. You know, Zeh HaKatan, this child should be a gadol, Gadol is one who lives up to his namesake, who lives up to the focus of his name. And that is the ability to be able to pinpoint what is my goal in life, look at my name, look at my essence, look at what my parents had in mind, and be able to draw up a map of how to be able to live with this reality my whole life. The Yosef, Hayav Mitzrayim, the same Yosef, Omei Bitzitko, standing in his tzidkus, in his righteousness, and not changing one iota. The second aspect of the names, or we'll just segue into the second aspect. The Ohel Moshe points out that Rav Yoshiv said, "Sheyesh kaninyan yosaf." It's brought down in the Akut Shimoni, "Kol shvatim l'shem gulatam nikru." The shvatim are called by the names of the geula. Hashem said, "Ra'o ra'iti," I saw your affliction. Vayishma lukim anakatam, Hashem heard their affliction. Yosef is a future redemption. Vayav ayomahu Yosef Hashem shenit. What is the beauty of these names? So on the one hand, they were able to hold their names in Golos. On the other hand, these names are a reflection of what enabled them to survive, and that was they always believed the Geula, the redemption, was going to come. And they looked at these names as being a source of comfort and a source of inspiration. Reuven, Hashem sees our affliction. Shimon, Hashem hears. And when they would call these names and hear these names, the belief that even though they're in Golos, there will be a Geula, the Eilah Shmos, the Geula will come, that is what enabled them to survive. Rosh Madron in Leif Shalom points out something very interesting. He says that Rashi, Chazal bring down, that Klal Yisrael are compared to the Kochavim, to the stars, Shemotziam u'machnisam b'mispar u'bishvotam, that are brought in and taken out with their name and with their number. So he says, okay, I understand that Klal Yisrael are being brought into Golos, Parshat Vayigash, with their names. Shouldn't it be that if we're talking about the names reflect the Geula, reflect the redemption, shouldn't it be that their names aren't mentioned here, but they should be mentioned in Parshas Bo when they leave Egypt? These are the children of Israel left Egypt. And this is to show you that this is what helped them, that they are leaving. Hashem takes them in and takes them out. So when they leave Egypt, then it should talk about, or when the Geula starts, then it should bring down their names. Not in the beginning of our Parsha, which is still Golos, the beginning of our Parsha. In fact, it's even worse Golos, worse exile. By Baruch Hayayim, they began subjugating them and oppressing them. How is it that these names listed here is a sign of Geula, a sign of redemption? And the Leif Shalom brings us as an answer, my friends, an answer that we need to keep in mind in the deepest recesses of our being. And he says, Elisha Shibura Kasha, Allah Misaperta Torah Parsha Shmot, Hihi Trilata Geula Vesibata. When the Torah mentions here the names of Klal Yisrael, this isn't Golos. This is the beginning of Geula. What do you mean it's the beginning of Geula, beginning of redemption? It gets worse, not better. And he says, I'll tell you something. Hashem promised us that we'd be in Golos for 400 years. What did Hashem do? Hashem shortened that time, and we were only in Golos 210 years. How did he be able to, so to speak, get away with that? We can't speak of that, obviously, by Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's because he allowed the difficulty of the Golos to be so hard, the 190 years, that they made up for in intensity what could have taken over longer periods of time. So now, when Klal Yisrael are feeling the hardships of Golos, and it's getting worse and not better, that is Geula. That's the sign that Hashem is bringing it closer, Hashem is bringing it faster. It looks to you like worse Golos, it looks to you like worse exile. Let me tell you, this is the beginning of the redemption. By making it harder, you've then been yotzei, you've then fulfilled your obligation to go through the Golos process, whatever you needed to go through. You fulfilled the decree, whatever nature had to be fulfilled, and now you're going to get out sooner. And he says, Mikan limu nifla, the circle around the asterisk, in 33b, shalofamim adam chai b'tzara mimashecha. Sometimes a person is in a long-term challenge, and you dive into a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and you think that, you know, God, like, why aren't you listening? Things aren't getting better, they're getting worse. Ah, change your perspective. Getting worse can very much mean that Hashem is making it worse in order to be able to take you out much sooner. And as we spoke about in Parsha Vayigash, instead of complaining, recognize Chesed Yisrael Avinu. Thank you, Hashem. This is part of a larger plan. I know I'm on this circle. And that says, Vesufos Marachos Rav Goldwichlin 34, the whole idea of what the name Galus is about. Galus is Meloshon Hit Galut, to reveal. Shemitah Pecha Idam Idei Nisyonos Vagalus. Through the challenges, we're able to develop ourselves to our fullest potential. And that enables us to be worthy of Geula, worthy of redemption. And this is the theme that Rav Gedalia Shur speaks about, 35 to 38. We'll highlight some of these ideas. He says, when Klal Yisrael have these names, yes, these are names of Gullus that they were able to maintain their identity in exile. But they're also names, as we saw, of vision of the future. Hashem sees my affliction. Hashem hears the challenges we're going through, and He hears the cries. Klal Yisrael have buried in their names both of those aspects. We have in our names, in the Shvatim had in their name, that ability, the seeds of redemption. What Golos did was to bring out those seeds to be able to be the best they can be, and once they've achieved that, they move to redemption. Which is really why these two levels are a continuation one of another. Once Klal Yisrael have that stability to live in Golos and not to change, they're developing themselves to their fullest potential and therefore are worthy to move on to stage B, stage 2, which is the stage of redemption, the stage of Golos. The Zohar Omek 38. Apeirush Mashamru Chazal Shaloshinu et Shmam. This is what it means that they didn't change their name. Shinisharu Miyuchadim Afbiotam the Golos. That they maintain their names even in Golos. Aval Yesh Bazeh Od Kavanah Mukan, the asterisks in 38. There's something deeper going on here. Which means that not only did they not change their essence, but that which was hidden in them, that latent potential of being redeemed, that other meaning of their name, that Hashem sees their affliction, that they're going to get out of this exile, that was never changed. When they are able to hold on to that, there is a lot more in us, and we are going to bring ourselves out to our fullest potential. That's what it means. Shiloshinu et Shmam. They didn't change their name. They didn't allow the depth and the inner essence of who they are to be changed in iota. My friends, all of us go through this type of challenge of Golos and Geula all the time. 39, Mashmul Tau Kol Achad Yisrael Hu Shiyotziyah Takachot Elu Sheyeshlo. We have to be able to bring out our latent potentials and bring them into fruition. And we know the idea that in Source 40 that all of us have a name, have a letter of that is connected to a letter in the Sefer Torah. It's a whole different topic. And we know that every letter in the Sefer Torah are names of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Each one of us has B'meila Me'ir Bo Gam Shem Yishmol Tav Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu. We all have in us a letter, a name of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, which means we all have in us the ability of revelation, the ability of redemption. Ubechol Adam Sheyesh Lo O Matara, he has Mishmol Tav Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu, which means that we have to bring the Kvod Shemayim in the Bria, which means that we have to be able to see how we can redeem ourselves and bring out that spiritual part of self. And that's why we're here, my friends. We're here to be able to take all those kochos ha-nefesh, all that potential that is found within me, and be able to maintain a life of focus, to be able to maintain a life of living up to my name. And when I do that, my names no longer are just a name for galus. My names are al shem ha-geula. My name is a name I called for the redemption. I'm moving toward that goal of developing myself to the fullest of my potential. As David HaMelech says so beautifully in 41, Hotzia mi maskir nafshi, take me out from the confinement of my soul. Lodot et shmecha, to give praise to your name. Our neshama is caught up in our physical body. And what David HaMelech is saying is, I need to be able to extricate myself. And then when I'm able to do that, I'm able to give praise to your name. Because I'm able to tap into the essence of my name, which is connected to the name of Hashem. Is it any wonder that when do we say this pasuk of our name at the end of Shemoneh Esrei? We say it by the Yu L'Ratzo, where we daven that Hashem should be Tsuri V'Goali, my strength and my redeemer, that Hashem should redeem me from my personal challenges, because the name is about focusing me in all my struggles. This is the name that gives me my barometer. This is the name that gives me my focus. And this is the name that's my geula. That's my name that's Otsia Mimaskar Nafshi. Hashem Suri V'Goali. This is the name that's going to get me out of the challenges that I have and is going to be able to allow me to be a redeemed person, a person who's going to live up to my name, my namesake, ultimately live up to bringing Kodesh HaMayim, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, into this world. And in that way, I have lived up to my name, I've lived up to the letter of my name, I've lived up to my essence. Is it any wonder, V'Ela Shmos B'nei Yisrael, our original question, these are the names of B'nei Yisrael. Why is the whole book called Shmot? The whole Sefer is called after Shmot? Because this is the Sefer of Geula. This is the Sefer of Redemption. What the names represent on the macro and micro level is that the name gives me focus. It gives me my mahod. It gives my essence. Either Shamos or Shemos. Either destruction or names. And this is what kept the Shvatim alive. So Shinu et Shmam, they never changed their names. They were able to stay the same strength in Golos, using their names to develop themselves to the fullest potential. And then they looked at their names, and they saw deep in their names was hint at revelation of the future, of the Geula. And they saw in their names that they're not only stuck here in this confines of self, Hashem Suri V'Goali, but there's a greater, there's a larger good, there's goals, there's redemption, and I have to move toward that as well. Says the Majid Tzarebi, Divrei Yisrael, that is why we have here V'Yosef Hayab Mitzrayim. The Medrash notes on the name Yosef that it's a reference to the future redemption, that Hashem will once again take us back from the exile. The Yosef Hayab Mitzrayim, when Yosef is in Egypt, Hashem is already looking to the future redemption. That's what we have to understand. When we are born, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a vision for us of where we'll be in the future. Hashem has a vision for us, and the moment we're named, that's the time of Geula. The moment we're named, notes Rav Wilson, Emunati Techa, Ki Kovim Shem Latinok Dafka B'Shal Samila. We specifically give the boy a name by the Prismila. Asu Bias Eliyahu, because that's when Eliyahu Anavi comes. Vishara Or Shel Geula, that's the name of the redemption, the light of redemption. Vashem Shel Tinok Ki Hashem Shel Geula. When we name this child, we're naming this child for where we expect this child to go, where this child should be able to live up to the fullest potential by girl by Sefer Torah, which also has all of the connotations we're speaking about. The name being the names of Hashem, the essence, redemption. When we name a child, the moment we name the child by a Sefer Torah for a girl, by a by Bris Mila, the Or of Eliyahu Hanavi, for a boy. What we're saying to this child is, I'm giving you a name, and this name is going to be Hotziyami Masker Nafshi Lo Dodet Shmecha. This name is going to be able to get you out of the confines of the physical world, to be able to praise Hashem, to be the Lahodel Sachmecha, to be the conduit of one who is going to be a person who's going to bring Kvod Shamayim, revelation of godliness, occult side v'shal, at every step of the way. The Elish Shmos, that's what these Shvatim had. They able to hold on in Golos, and they able to have a vision of Geula. Each one of us has to be living in both realms as well, to have that focus in where we are, our shame is our pthios, our being able to have that stability, and the shame being our vision of where we're trying to attain, who we're trying to be, how we're supposed to bring Kvod Shamayim into this world. I'd like to conclude with a very beautiful idea of a Sifti Dat, a sefer I just got, which is a compilation of insights from the Sfas Emes. And he brings down in 46, Ve'elu Shmos b'nei Yisrael b'ayim Mitzrayma, Shayu Shvatim kol kach mechubarim el ha'sharash v'lo pnimios. Says the Sfas Emes, the Shvatim, the tribes, were so connected to their root, to the inner world, Ad kidei sheim atzmam klal or gisha b'mitzrayim. It's as if they weren't even in Egypt at all. Bofa mufshat nitan lomar, in a very esoteric way, we can say, shishmotam vofatam heim shebalu mitzrayim, ach lo heim mamish. Ve'ilu shmo b'nei Yisrael b'ayim mitzrayim. You know what came down to Egypt? Their names. But they never came down. Why? Viveru advarim be'amkos, adam nimsas to the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, in the double underline, b'makom shu margishu nimsabo. Where is a person? Wherever his mind is. Wherever you think you are, that's where you are, right? You can be, you know, working and your mind is in the Beis Medrash, you're in the Beis Medrash. You can be in the Beis Medrash, your mind is, you know, off of the stock market. Where are you? You're in the stock market. Where your mind is creates where your essence is. Kasher matsui mindahu. If a person is in a difficult situation and feels like, oh my gosh, I'm in this situation, then you know what? You are in this situation. But when a person is able to realize that I'm only in this situation right now because Hashem wants me to be in this situation, and everything that Hashem does is for the good, and ultimately, back to that wheel, that Hashem will take me out of this situation. So at that moment, I'm really not in Golos, I'm not in exile, I'm really in Geula, I'm really in redemption, because I see this as a process, I see this as a whole piece. And my Yukokach Mechubarim, the end of 46 in the asterisk, L'shara Shapnimi, they were so connected to that inner world, they're so connected to the world of the Geula, the Sefer Geula, V'urabas Baklari, Me'ira Bohaket, Ritzon Hashem, Shmetoch HaMetzar, and they understood that there is the will of God in all of this. Umemela rak shvotam ba'alu Mitzrayim ach lo rucham v'gufam. Ve'elu shvot b'nei Yisrael b'ayim Mitzrayim. The book is called the Book of Shmot, to teach us that only their names were in Egypt. Their essence never went down to Egypt. Their essence was always connected to the world of Geula, the world of redemption. And because they were always connected to that redemption, they always believed in that redemption, that is why they were redeemed. And the Sfarim bring this down very clearly. Who were the four-fifths of the Jews that died in Makas Choshech? Those who didn't believe in the Geula, those who didn't believe in redemption. When a person has that vision, that I'm here for a short time in the challenge that I'm in, but I see in the long term that there is redemption, and I long toward that redemption, then persons are ready to a certain degree redeemed. The Elish Shmot, these names are called on the names of the redemption, the names that Hashem sees the affliction, He hears the affliction. Hashem will take us out, Hashem will connect to us. When you focus that these are the names of the redemption, so only the names came down, because they only had to come down, because they reflect and represent why they were redeemed. Because they never left that vision of what it means to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And my friends, that has to be our vision as well. When we take a look at the most precious thing we have, our names, be able to look into and examine what is our meaning of our name. If our parents are still alive or they've told us why they named us what they named us, tell your children before it's too late why you named them what they named the name you gave them. Be able to give over this tremendous gift and understand this gift of a name is going to help you be able to have that stability, that kvius, be able to have that chachma over the regesh, the wisdom over the emotions, and be able to lead your life with that vision of creating godliness in this world. And know that your name is your way. Hashem Suri V'Gohali. Hosemi Masker Nashi Lo Dota Shmecha. That's going to be the way that I'm ultimately going to be able to extricate myself. And it's therefore no wonder that Kla Yisrael compared to the stars, that is what it's about. That vision of moving beyond the power, the light. When I have that vision, so the names go down to Egypt, the names come out of Egypt, because we, as Kla Yisrael, were never in Egypt. Where you are is where your mind is. When we are focused in on our essence, being the aspect of redemption, so wherever we are in a redeemed state.